Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've all heard about preacher's kids, and especially, could you imagine from the Bible Belt? Well, I met a preacher's kid recently who I've invited him onto the program. He's also a close friend of Heather Surovic. You'll remember her name. Heather was, well, she was 9 months pregnant with her son, Brady. He was about to be born, and Brady was killed by a drunk driver in a terrible crash. I don't even like to call it an accident. When they're drunk, it's not an accident. It's a crime. And so Pastor Don Veazey is in studio of Tri-Town Baptist. Pastor, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you very much.
You are a PK.
Yes, sir, I am.
So could you tell me a bit about that? I know a bit about your background. I'd like to know more. A lot of pastors' kids don't exactly see eye to eye with their dad.
Very true. And I am a preacher's kid. I grew up in Amarillo, Texas, where my dad pastors, still pastors, has for 34 years, Amarillo Baptist Church. And having grown up in that environment, seeing some of the not so bright sides of ministry, I wanted no part of it. And I didn't get saved till I was 15.
Wow.
At a youth camp, and of course, God began to change my heart.
So you grow up as a young boy up through your mid-teenage years, and you are not even a Christian, and you're going to Amarillo Baptist Church.
Yes, sir, not by choice.
not by choice. And that happens, right? You're not a Christian because you're born into a Christian family.
Absolutely.
That doesn't make you a Christian.
No, sir.
If you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a Chevy. You're an American if you're born here. You're a human being. But it doesn't mean you're a Christian.
Exactly.
Not even going to church makes you a Christian.
No, sir.
So what happened? How did you?
Well, I went to a youth camp one summer. And, of course, I had heard the gospel all my life. I could preach it as well as my dad could, probably.
Wow.
And I knew every Bible story. You know, I could quote it. Did very well in Bible classes and Sunday school, things like that, you know, being the preacher's kid. But it was never real in my heart.
Isn't there even some preachers who actually are not Christian?
I would believe so.
Yeah, there are some. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me.
Yes, sir.
So, in fact, there were priests of the Lord's day who really wanted to kill him. And he was the Messiah sent to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so religious leaders, in fact, we've heard of the ministers who have a crisis of faith. I don't really get that. But they end up becoming atheist or all kinds of terrible things. But so just because somebody is a minister doesn't even mean they're a Christian.
You're exactly right. The Bible's very clear. To be a Christian, you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Mm.
And so just being a preacher or a preacher's kid does not make it so that you're going to heaven.
And there are plenty of people who hear about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they, even though they might not put it in these words, they basically say, I don't think he's worthy of my love. I don't think he's worthy of my trust.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't trust him. And we're all going to stand before him on Judgment Day.
Yes, sir.
The whole world. And what are they going to say to the Lord who created them, who gave his life for them, who was raised from the dead so they could live forever? And they're going to say, look, I just didn't care. I didn't want to. And he doesn't force them, so they're not going to live with him.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That is it's a horrifying thought.
It is. It's a very horrifying thought.
Yeah.
That's why you better make sure you know that Jesus is your Savior. Heaven is your home.
Yeah. Yeah. On Resurrection Sunday, did you guys have a good service?
We had a great service.
Did you?
We did. We had the third highest attendance since we've been there.
Wow.
And so we sure praise the Lord for that.
Well, how many people attend your church?
On an average Sunday morning, we probably run in the high 70s to around 80.
You know, that's about identical to Denver Bible Church. And we often don't count. We're a very activist church, but the problem with our church is the pastor. Our pastor is terrible at administrating. We don't administer well. I think we evangelize well. We reach out to the needs of the community. We reach out to homosexuals and abortionists, and we've seen so many people saved. But we're sort of dysfunctional on Sunday morning, so we usually don't even count. But we did count on, I call Resurrection Sunday,
yes,
Easter,
sir.
we had 110 people there, and that was encouraging to everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then there's these creasters, these Christmas and Easter people who just come on.
Yes,
those
sir.
Days.
We have some of those.
What's with that? I want to be with fellow believers.
Yes, sir. I can't imagine life now without church.
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't like it. Now I love it.
Yeah. And that's when the Lord touches your heart, because what's more important in life than relationships?
Yeah, not a thing.
Relationship with God, mm-hmm. with our wives. You have a beautiful wife. You guys have kids?
We do. We have four.
Oh.
Three girls and a boy.
Wow. What are their ages?
Esther is 10 and Lydia is 9. Miriam is 7 and Abraham is 6.
Wow. I like the names too. So Cheryl and I have 7 boys, and they span quite a range. You met one of our hockey
yes, sir.
Players. So you're a preacher's kid who was very skeptical, to say the least, but your heart was touched. At that event, it was a youth
camp. Yes, sir.
I got saved at a Campus Life weekend retreat. That sounds similar to what happened to you. I was a freshman in high school.
Okay.
And that's when I became a Christian. And so, and it was Ron Hutchcraft, who was the New Jersey director of Campus Life. And they came to our high school and they had a weekly meeting. And so that's how I came to the Lord. I'm so grateful to them and that outreach.
Absolutely.
So it was a youth effort that reached you.
It was. It was the last night. And I just had an overwhelming sense that it was either now or never.
Oh.
And I had said no many times in my heart.
Oh.
And finally, praise God, I said yes. And now there's never been a doubt since that I know heaven is my home.
Oh, wow. Wow. Pastor Don and Veazey. How do you spell Veazey?
V as in Victor, E-A-Z-E-Y.
Pastor Don Veazey, Tri-Town Baptist Church. At the event I went to, it was a weekend retreat. It was Sunday night, and Ron Hutchcraft was offering communion. And that was very different for me. And they talked about persecution and what it means to be persecuted. And I could not comprehend what I thought. We're living in America. This is like, hey, these are the 70s.
Right.
We're not. This isn't. What are you talking about? It's not like the Spanish Inquisition. What is persecute? I couldn't comprehend what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave an altar call. And I started to realize how selfish I had been. Well, we have 4 kids in our family, 3 brothers and a sister. And I realized all the selfishness, all the tension in our family, and how much of it came from me.
Mm-hmm.
It just asking God to search your heart and show you, you know, am I a sinner, Lord? And then it's scary.
Yes, sir.
And I remember asking God, please, I'm so sorry. I'm so young and I've already messed up my life. Please forgive me. And that's when I became a Christian. So it sounds like we have similar testimonies.
Yes, sir.
So then, Don, tell us about Heather Cerevic, and she's a member of your church.
Yes, she is. Heather's a young lady in our church who, as many know, July the 5th, 2012, that as she was leaving her OB appointment, where she had just been there and had an ultrasound, she, in fact, was already beginning to dilate. And the doctor told her it would be very possible that he would see her again that night.
Oh.
And to deliver the baby.
Oh.
And, of course, as again many know, that as she left that appointment, she was hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, my.
And ended up being in the hospital for several days and then, of course, losing Brady.
And Brady was killed by a drunk driver who now has actually gone to face judgment.
He has. He committed suicide.
And he was found, his body was found in a Denver hotel room.
Yes, sir.
That was not his first drunk driving.
No, it was
offense.
Not. No, it was not.
And that's part of the immorality of our system, is that people commit horrendous crimes and they're just let out. We heard of somebody who was convicted of murder and they did 6 years and they came out and, of course, they murdered someone else.
Yes.
Of course. It's not hard to. We've turned our back on God as a society.
We have, and there's consequences for that.
Yeah, and there's life and death consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So Brady was killed, and then all the heartache that comes on to the Cerevic family.
Oh, it was unreal. In fact, my wife and I were on vacation when it took place. We had gone to North Dakota, and we got the call, and we immediately packed up and came back.
Oh.
And when we got there, you know, to walk into the hospital into the emergency room area there, you know, and to meet the family. It was devastating. You know, as a pastor, you know, one of my goals with my people that God's given me to pastor, it's not enough for me to just be there on Sunday morning. I have to be there for them whenever they need me. I feel like that's what God has called me to do.
Yeah.
And so we were there, you know, really for almost two solid days with the family in the hospital and to try to comfort them, because there was something in their heart that they realized that they were going to have to do, and that is to tell Heather that her baby was dead. And they were, you know, they were in themselves grieving. A grandmother, great-grandparents.
Terry is such a wonderful,
yes, she is,
godly woman. Just a heart for the Lord and for her daughter, Heather. She's been at Heather's side this whole time.
Yes, she has.
It's been going on a year.
Yes, sir.
July 5th will be a year. In fact, they were the first time I saw them, actually not in a newspaper article or something, was on CNN.
CNN.
And what a wonderful testimony they gave. In fact, it was the most wonderful, you know, few minutes I've ever seen on CNN since like the days of the, you know, the war in Iraq. And just an innocence and a love for Brady, for unborn children, for the Lord. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to teach people that Brady was a person.
Yes.
Wow. So, and thank you, by the way, you and your wife, for coming back to minister to Heather. Of course, as a pastor, that's your heart.
Yes, it is.
It's what you want to do, what we need to do. But that's extraordinary. Thank you for that. So now there's more than a grieving mom and a grieving church. Now there's the Brady Project.
Yes, sir.
So could you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The Brady Project has come about in great part from the help of Personhood USA. Mm-hmm. They have been more than great, not only to Heather, to Terry, to myself, to our church. In fact, through their help, this last Sunday night, we launched Brady Ministries and to go right alongside of Brady Project.
Yes.
And our whole purpose of this is to change Colorado law because, again, as many listeners know, that as Brady was killed and charges were filed, there were no charges filed on behalf of Brady because Colorado does not recognize the unborn child as a human being. Mm.
What a tragedy. And this has happened over and over.
Yes, it has.
The Aurora massacre in the theater, well, the 13th victim was an unborn child who then died because of the injuries sustained from the shooter, from the murderer. And the prosecutor said, well, we can't add charges for your child because he's not a person.
Right.
And it happened out in Grand Junction. It happened in Denver. The drunk driver in Denver, apparently drunk driver, has never been caught.
Mm-hmm.
In Grand Junction, the mother was rushed to the hospital. She gave birth, and the baby lived for, I forget how long, an hour or a day, and died. And they said, well, there's nothing we can do because he wasn't a person when the crime was committed.
Mm-hmm.
This is just so horrific.
It is. It is. It is absolutely terrible. Something we have to change in Colorado.
Yeah. And the insanity is because abortion is legal.
Right.
So because abortion is legal, what are they going to do when a criminal, a drunk driver or any kind of criminal, assaults a pregnant woman, kills the baby? Then they're sort of stuck in this bizarre world.
Yes, sir. In my mind, it's absolute hypocrisy. You know, the cry for a woman's rights. And yet here's a mom who made her choice to keep her baby, to raise him. And yet that was taken away from her, not by her choice, but by somebody else's. And yet there's nothing on behalf of Heather. So if they want to argue women's rights, they at least ought to be fair in it.
They're hypocrites.
Yes, they are.
Colorado Right to Life, which is a pro-life organization that has no exceptions. They work with Personhood USA in Colorado, and they are already getting signatures to get on the ballot with the Brady Amendment, which is just a beautiful amendment. People have got to read it.
Yes.
Go to ColoradoRightToLife.org. At the top of the webpage, you'll find out all about the Brady Project and with links to the Brady Project and the video, which is so wonderful, that was produced by Personhood USA. And so they introduced 2 years in a row with local representatives, a representative and a senator, Jarek Joshi and others, a principled fetal homicide bill which is actually abortion neutral.
Yes.
It didn't mention abortion. It just said if a pregnant woman is the victim of a crime and the unborn, you know, the fetus, it didn't even say baby or child. It's just speaking, you know, sort of matter-of-factly, if that fetus is harmed or killed, then the criminal could be brought with charges mm-hmm. also for harming or killing the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
It was one sentence.
Yes.
Well, Planned Parenthood and the Democrats opposed it ferociously, and they killed it 2 years in a row, and it was actually neutral. It doesn't say, it didn't say anything about abortion, mm-hmm. and it didn't even apply to abortion, because abortion isn't a crime in Colorado under our criminal statute, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, they opposed that, and then they passed their own. The Democrats and Planned Parenthood got together. It was historic, I think, because of the efforts for the Brady Amendment and personhood in Colorado. For the first time ever, Planned Parenthood supported a fetal homicide bill, but it's a corrupt and perverse bill.
Sure.
It says you can add a penalty, say, to a drunk driver, but it makes it clear that the fetus is not a person and you could kill the fetus intentionally at an abortion clinic and so on. So it's this assault,
yes, sir,
on the dignity of Brady and every unborn child.
Yes, it is.
And it's shaking their fist at God.
Yes, it is.
So that's a phony thing they've done. This Brady Amendment says, you know, not only is Brady a person, every unborn child is a person. And so that's what we're trying to pass.
Yes, we are.
So how do people get involved in this effort?
There would be many ways in which somebody could get involved. I would first of all reach out to the pastors that are listening this afternoon. I would be honored if you'd give me a phone call.
Oh, wow.
At the church office. That number is 303-833-2826. And I would love to speak with you personally about what you can do to help change Colorado law. Because if we as preachers, as ministers, don't stand up, nothing's going to change.
Mm.
And we talk about taking a stand, and why things are the way they are in our society is because previous generations have not. Well, here's our opportunity.
Wow.
For us to count. And so I would encourage anyone listening, they can also, of course, go to Personhood USA and get involved there.
Mm-hmm.
But we are actively engaged now in a petition drive. And so we have petitions available. Again, they can call the church. They can call Personhood USA directly.
Church number, I'd like to give that out again. I wrote that down. And if it's okay, I'd like to put that on our show summary today on the website. We'll archive this interview so that others will be able to hear this, even other pastors. In fact, anyone listening, you might want to send a link to this interview to a pastor friend, Sunday school teacher, to encourage them to see that they can be involved also. But I think I wrote it down correctly. 303, this is Tri-Town Baptist. And where is your church?
We are located in Frederick, Colorado. For those who may not know where that is, if you know where Longmont is,
mm-hmm.
We are actually just east of I-25 from Longmont. It's a tri-town area. It's
and
Firestone.
Just barely east, like 2 miles
yeah,
east?
Yeah, it's just across I-25.
Across I-25 from Longmont.
Yes, and that's so, the tri-town area.
So north of Denver, if you're in Denver and you're headed north, how long to get to Tri-Town?
Tri-Town is exit 235 off of I-25, so we're about 20 minutes maybe from
north.
The north metro area.
Okay. All right, and so let's see. So we will link to your church and this number on today's radio program show summary. So we'll do that. So you said, first of all, pastors. And pastors could get involved. I think they find out when they get involved that the people in the personhood movement are the kinds of Christians you want around you anyway.
Absolutely. I have been blown away by Keith Mason, the individuals involved there. They have just been so great.
Mm.
Not just to me, but to the people in our church, to Heather and to Terry. They have welcomed us with warm arms, just have been great to us, and definitely people that other people need to get to know.
And I could say that I've been around these folks for years now. This is our fourth round in Colorado. And so I can't say that I'm not getting a little tired of getting signatures, but it's a ministry. It's an opportunity. God created these children
yes.
in his image and his likeness. That's why it's wrong to kill them.
Absolutely.
And you get into conversations with people and they say, I don't believe in God. Well, as a Christian, I pray for open doors. Lord, give me an open door. All you got to do is open your mouth and there's an open door.
Yes, sir.
And so there's so many people who are willing. Even often we go to churches to get signatures, but sometimes we go to a parade or we go to a county fair or whatever the event, or a library, and you're there as a witness, and you sometimes you get to pray with people. Sometimes a pregnant woman says, I think I'm going to have an abortion, and she ends up breaking down in tears, and you could share the gospel. So there's so many opportunities. So for a pastor to call you, Pastor Don Veazey, and say, hey, you know, I'd like to find out more. That's one thing.
Yes.
For the pastors. How about for folks who are not pastors? What should we ask them to do?
You know, again, I would say this is so important for us to realize that God being the author of life, that we take a stand for it. And so for the average individual, you know, even to themselves, get a petition. One petition is 72 signatures. And all of us can get 72 signatures.
I think you're right.
And, you know, we've got to change this. If we're waiting for the politicians to do it, it's never going to happen.
What if we wait for the court to do it?
How many babies will be lost?
Oh.
And how many innocent, again, stories like Heather happen all the time, sadly.
Yeah.
And so we have to now take a stand and not wait to see what happens with the court system.
And if you wait for the courts, it could be another 40 years, 80, 100, 200 years, and it might not happen. The U.S. Supreme Court has still not apologized for its Dred Scott decision that was a crime against humanity. They've still not said it was illegitimate. Usually when they reference it, it's sort of neutral or positive. Once in a while, they say it was not a very popular decision. It was not like Nazi Germany, but it was sort of like that. Human beings are just property, and they upheld that. It was so brutally wicked, and it's been 150 years they haven't apologized. When are they going to apologize about Roe v. Wade? In 150 years? Not likely.
No. And you know, for this, I'd encourage them, go to like Personhood USA and see a picture of Brady. And you tell me that that's not a person.
Oh.
8 pounds, I believe 2 ounces.
Yeah.
Beautiful baby boy.
Yeah.
And to be able to look at him.
Big.
He was.
That's a big baby. Eight pounds,
I mean, he's ready
ounces.
To come. And for Colorado to say that that's not a person.
Yeah.
They didn't look at him.
Wow.
Because he's a person.
Right. He is a person. And so some of them will object, some of them being even pro-lifers who say, well, you know, the courts will strike it down. The federal government doesn't agree. Well, so what?
Exactly.
You know, I'm against smoking marijuana.
Sure.
I don't know if
you... Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Well, praise God. I figured. But, in fact, if somebody Googles, what does the Bible say about pot? I think out of tens of thousands of pages, I think our church article is number one all over the country. From studying the Bible, you see that marijuana, it's sinful to smoke pot. Sinful. But the pot amendment, we could sort of learn a lesson from history on that, because the federal government says you can't legalize marijuana. And they said, well, we don't care what the federal government thinks. We're going to do it. And they just went ahead and did it. And so that's the way things get done.
Absolutely.
Things don't normally get done by waiting for the guys in charge to do it.
Yeah, it'll never happen.
It will never happen. And so for Christians, people who love God, recognize God made us in his image, for them to say it's wrong to kill kids, we're going to stop you from killing kids. That's the vision, and that's trusting in the Lord and not waiting for politicians.
Absolutely. You know, I believe we need something like 87,000 signatures. If every Christian in Colorado listening today and every Christian in Colorado stood up, we'd have no problem getting the signatures.
We would literally have it in 1 week if church said, let's do
we
this.
Would.
But we know that they're not going to, but there's always a remnant. And, you know, I think it was a remnant that stopped slavery, like
sure.
in England. It was William Wilberforce for 40 years. Everybody hated that guy. All he would do is say, we got to stop owning black people. They're made in God's image. It was a Christian ministry for him. He witnessed everybody, the street people. He'd invite them in. And in fact, he spent his whole fortune ministering to people.
Well, look at Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, in the Old Testament, a remnant. Coming back
to build
again temple,
to build the
wall,
build the temple.
So it's always been a remnant.
And wasn't there naysayers who tried to
tell them? Yes, there were. Sam Ballett and Tobiah.
Yeah, that this is not going to work and you got to give up. And they tried to undermine it. And that's happened.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of opposition.
Yeah.
But when I meet God face to face one day, I want my voice to count and to at least say I tried. Mm. Because these are little babies made in his image.
Yeah.
And if we say nothing and do nothing, nothing will ever change.
Wow. Pastor Don Veazey, Tri-Town Baptist Church. We're almost out of time. We just have about another minute. But I'm hoping you could pass on my thanks to Heather and her mother, Terry, and to thank them for their courage to press on. Because this is rough. You lost a child, and now to fight the fight. You know, sometimes it's nice to heal and sort of move on with your life. And this keeps the hurt and the loss right in front of them every day.
It does.
And that's a burden. But thank God they're willing to carry that burden.
Yes. And I will give that to them. And we'd like to thank you for your stand. It has just been tremendous. We've listened, and we're thankful for your support.
Wow.
For Heather and Terry and for unborn persons.
Well, you're very welcome. I'd like to let the church know, this normally wouldn't be said publicly, but your church, a bunch of you guys, just did a project pre-processing the petitions. I think you had about 10,000 petitions.
We did. And last night, in fact, after church, we had about 40 of our very faithful people that went right through those, and we got them all done in about half an hour.
Wow, that's quick. We thought it was going to take 40 hours. You had 40 people. That was smart. So they're pre-processed, which means that about 5,000 petitions are going to be mailed out to people all across Colorado, people who are strong pro-lifers. So we're going to kickstart this petition drive, and if we all work and we all do something, we'll get it done quickly.
Yes.
All right, Pastor Don Veazey, thank you. What an honor to have you in studio.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, and this is Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I got to visit Pastor Don's church twice now. Went there back in last summer, and it's a beautiful church. So if you live in that area, anywhere in the Longmont area, go visit on a Sunday morning, Tri-Town Baptist Church. I think you'll love it. And if you live in the Denver area, well, come on out to Denver Bible Church, but also check out our website, KGOV.com. Today's show summary will be there, Lord willing, and there'll be a link you could share with other pastors and friends. So we're real interested in, of course, in you. And first, that you have a relationship with God, and then secondly, that you want to love your neighbor. Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor, and the Brady Project is a way to do that. So God bless you. Bob Inyart Live. See you tomorrow.